This will be Traditions of Men, Part 2. And if you've got your billfolds ready, I'll take them. You can take them out, and I'll bless them, and you can buy that bridge I was talking about last week. Because this isn't going to be just two parts. It'll be three parts. So, again, my series always seem to be at least one message longer, if not more, than what I anticipate. Let's begin today's message by turning to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, I'd like to begin with verse 5. Verse 5 it says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?' And he said to them, 'Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men.' He was also saying to them, 'You nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition.'" In the previous message, I pointed out and demonstrated in this passage, synoptic parallel, Matthew 15, that Yeshua was specifically addressing and condemning what was then known as the tradition of the elders, which in approximately 500 A.D. was codified into what we now know as the Talmud. That is, the citadel, the circulating heart's blood, the central pillar, the primary source, the only authority in Judaism. All of those Jewish quotes about the Talmud. Now, there's no denying that Yeshua was denying then what is now the religion of modern Judaism, or what became the religion of modern Judaism. And yet, how many preachers today deliver the same warning to their flocks that Yeshua delivered to his? After all, there's no difference. It's just been codified. If anything, it's become worse because it's no longer being handed down word of mouth as it was at the time of Yeshua. Now it's codified in writing, as if in stone, and being passed on in a much greater and more effective way generation to generation. It's the same thing, and yet how many preachers today deliver the same warning that Yeshua gave to his flock? Well, we know it's a small minority because it's a small minority who understand that the traditions of the elders equaled Phariseeism, and that Phariseeism eventually equaled Talmudism, and that Talmudism is one and the same as Judaism. So is it any wonder as well that the same warning given by Yeshua in the first century A.D. can also be applied to much of Judeo, or what I last week's message retitled Judaized Christianity in the present 20th century A.D. It shouldn't surprise us that with the same warning, even though it was specifically at the Pharisees, even though it was specifically at the tradition of the elders, but with the pastors and preachers today who don't know that it's still in existence, it's no wonder that that same warning can be applied to most of Judaized Christianity as well. Indeed, we find many carryovers from Judaism into Judeo or Judaized Christianity, along with additional doctrines, traditions and doctrines of men as well. To name just a few, which I addressed in the last message, the tradition of a quote-unquote spiritual Israel. Today's Jews identified as Israelites. The Romans 13 distortion of total submission to any and all government authority. The doctrine of a future, singular, wicked, world-ruling Antichrist. The great spook in the sky, Satan theory. The once-saved, always-saved doctrine. The rapture tradition, and the worst of all, or the most dangerous of all, the doctrine of man of asking Jesus into your heart for salvation. Now, all of those and more are also traditions and doctrines of men, just like those at the time of Yeshua that he was dealing with, which our people need preachers to warn them about. Amen? Amen? Thank you. Now I can go on with what I want to say next. You know, we're good at throwing amens. Maybe you were only doing it under your breath until I prompted you, and I don't normally ask for amens because normally I figure if it's worthy of an amen, it'll get an amen, without having to be prompted for. But, you know, we are good at either in our minds or verbally amening, throwing amens around when one of our preachers is condemning the Jews or Judaized Christianity. But let me ask you, does Christian Israel have any traditions of the elders, any doctrines of men, any teachings that we sacredly hold on to simply because there are doctrines? Well, let me tell you, if we do, and if we won't release our grip on them simply because they're ours, or always have been ours, or because so-and-so teaches them, or for whatever reason, when the Bible teaches otherwise, we are no different than the Pharisees of Yeshua's day, or the Jews of our day, or the Judaized Christians of Judeo-Christianity, who, quote, nicely set aside the Word of God or the laws of God in order to keep our or their traditions, end of quote. We're no different. You know, I think sometimes we see ourselves so different from everybody else just because we have some knowledge that other people don't have. Well, don't you think that the churches of Christ sometimes have knowledge that nobody else has? Don't you think the Presbyterians, at least the Reformed Presbyterians, have some knowledge that no one else has? And we all probably just get in our little old segments over here and think that we are special because of some knowledge that we have or keep. We're no different. If we hold on to our traditions of the